This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
She's taller than him.
Maybe he's holding her up.
They're at a dance. She's wearing the pumps.
On this episode of iRescue Radio, we talk about the science of romance.
Wow.
I just wish we had some romantic music.
Couldn't be we're working on Valentine's, could it?
Maybe.
Hallmark's amazing.
See, Dan doesn't like these.
Captain Skeptical.
Captain Skeptical? Oh, no.
I'm so surprised.
Wow. All right.
So for those who have not listened to other episodes, that might be news to you. But Archie Bunker showed up.
No.
Dan, can we talk about the hamburger story for just a minute?
The hamburger story?
I'm the ham. You're the burger?
No.
What?
99-cent menu.
What about? I don't know the story.
Western.
Dan, I got to hear it.
Oh, my gosh.
Spill it, Dan. Spill it.
Unlike my noon appointment that said you'd make a long story short, and it wasn't short.
Do you dare?
Jan,
do you dare?
And I, at Western Michigan University.
Your wife.
Home of Tim Tool Time Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He's busted for cocaine there.
great lineage there.
Okay.
Our first date. Mm-hmm. I took her to Burger King.
This is romantic.
And kept her to the dollar menu. Oh, yeah.
You big spender, you.
Now, my roots go all the way back to the Netherlands, so any Dutchness.
Wait. Oh. Did you tell her, listen, I love you, honey, but the only thing you can order
is four nuggets for a buck.
99 cents and less.
Spill it.
Come on.
What happened after you paid for the burger?
I groused about the quality of the food and the amount. And swore I'd never come back.
This is his first date.
And she's
Jody.
Still married him, though.
I know. What,
I mean, you know, this is, Jody, I know. That's the material point. I say there's the rub.
You know what?
You know?
Listen, if she, but maybe that was your strategy all along. If she couldn't handle it, yeah, didn't need her.
Oh, there you go. So today when I'm ordering Pro Flowers for my wife and cancel the order because they keep cranking on extra charges and promptly close the window because I couldn't figure out how to back out.
You did not.
I did.
You did it. You were putting your credit card information in.
I know it.
What are you going to do? You better bail on this.
Well, they sent me an email. It says, it looks like you were here, almost bought from us, but didn't. How about another 10% off and a free vase? And I went, woohoo!
Did you do it?
I called them, talked to Randy, and she was kind enough to help me out. Long story short is, it was still as expensive. It was an $18 charge.
Did you still cancel? So did you cancel?
No, now I had him on the phone. Now I couldn't run and hide without breaking somebody's heart.
You are so fortunate that this will not be produced until after Saturday.
Swear.
Paul, can you get this produced today?
And send a sample copy home to Hendrick family at sbcglobal.net.
Dan is.
This would not surprise my wife.
It doesn't surprise me either.
Dan is
everything. Well, okay.
I think Dan has what's going on in this article. That's what I think.
I'm not a legend. I mean, legionnaire.
I can't believe that you admitted this.
That's pretty good. So Dan was on ProFlowers.com, had the order ready to go, and bailed.
So this is too expensive. I'm out of here.
Wouldn't take my discount code, and they didn't tell me about the extra charges, and I wanted the vase, and it was
and suddenly
messing up.
Jan is going, deja vu.
The fact that I remembered Valentine's should only be a positive.
You know, hey,
in fact, it is all. It's not a Hallmark holiday, though.
I understand that, but I wanted the free basket because she's got so many vases saved up from days gone by from family who sent her flowers when I didn't.
Did you hear that? Another confession. Family sent flowers when he didn't.
No, I don't need the free vase. We got right. more than we can stand.
Oh, man.
But not from Dan, though.
This is classic.
Right. So she's getting flowers.
Your wife is going to buy you the medication they're developing in this article.
I think so.
She's going to say, if this medicine can make voles, which have a 5% commitment rate to a mate for life, get romantic. Sign us up for a free look.
You got any samplers?
Oh, man.
My ventral tegmental area?
It's very possible, Dan, that either your ventral tegmental area, the nucleus accumbens, or the ventral pallidum and raphe nucleus may be a slightly bit underdeveloped in you.
There you go.
I haven't focused on that.
But you know what? You've got a lifelong commitment, though. It's just a little weak in the romance area. Or cheap.
Well, they just say romance has a price.
And it's way too expensive in my
mind. Here you go. Unless I got a coupon.
That don't you know it.
Oh, man. Yeah, Jody's sitting here next to me.
Just as bad.
Almost as bad.
Although he gets flowers for his wife a lot.
I'm sorry. I think, and our wives know this.
But you know.
That we treat ourselves to Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
And the money we spent
this
there.
This is bad. This is going downhill. It's going to be a cold weekend at home on this Valentine's Day.
It's much for 60-degree weather.
Yep. And it's going to be cold in the weather as well.
Anyway, this is Dan.
We're Jody. Way off. So on this episode of iRescueRadio.com, we thought we'd start it a little bit different. We thought, let's just do what they did in Rockford, Michigan last weekend and do the Polar Bear Valentine's Day Plunge.
That is fun.
Have you done it before?
I've
read about it.
No, I was in the ambulance waiting for the hypothermic and mostly drunk guys that are in the water.
Lands.
Which only makes it worse. Getting out of the water.
You've heard about it.
Absolutely. I see it in
we TV. Had it. I lived in Olcott, New York, and that's where we had Polar Bear Day every year.
They do
year.
It right here locally in Rockford, Michigan.
Yep.
They will declothe and show their loved one how committed they are.
They wear a swimsuit, though.
They do. Yeah, sure.
Don't declothe.
Do they how well their VTA is working. They take the plunge in icy cold water. Right there in the Rogue.
Why? How does that show them that they love
it? You know, because they're so passionate for their loved one.
Yeah.
To show their commitment.
Yeah. Push. How is that connected?
I don't know.
All I know.
I just know it's traditional.
It's traditional, yeah. Serious amount of wheel bearing grease all over my body.
Yeah.
For a little protection.
I don't know if they go to the corner bar first.
Unfortunately, that or to be.
Maybe they sandwich it, right in between. Anyways, in humans, there are four tiny areas of the brain that some researchers say from a circuit of love form a circuit of love. Mm-hmm. Now, Acevedo, who works at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York, is part of a team that has isolated those regions with the unromantic names of ventral tegmental area, VTA, that's what we were talking about, the nucleus accumbens, and the ventral pallidum and raphe nucleus. The VTA is part of a key reward system in the brain. It says one of the research findings isn't so complimentary. Love works chemically in the brain like a drug addiction. Romantic love is an addiction.
So if you say you dope.
Well, that's because dopamine is a major chemical.
That triggers
when you have those types of feelings.
So when your wife says you are a dope.
She's really giving you a Valentine's Day compliment.
There you go.
So the part I like the best is where he says he studies the brains of an unusual monogamous rodent.
Yeah,
named Dan.
Monogamous rodent.
I wasn't going to say that.
If my wife would only call me that.
Monogamous rodent?
I mean, it'd be an improvement. She loves me. She does love me.
Well, anyways, you know, they said that the connection to addiction sounds terrible. Uh-huh. But love is supposed to be something wonderful and grand, but it has its reasons. The reason, I think, is to keep us together. Now, the team's most recent brain scans were aimed at people married about 20 years who say they are still holding hands, lovey-dovey as newlyweds, and a group that is a minority of married people. Now, that's sad.
That is sad.
That that's a minority group of married people after 20 years.
Life is tough.
But love is a choice.
Dan, you are out of control.
But love is a choice.
Well, listen to this. In these men and women.
We're never getting invited to the Shaw House. Never again.
I'm not saying anything. Of which, my love, my wife and I would say we fall into the lovey-dovey category.
Yeah, I don't.
Myself, I'm surprised.
I do.
My wife and I are not lovey-dovey. No. No. No, we're much more practical.
I'm forget it. Moving right along. In these men and women, two more areas of the brain lit up, along with the VTA.
Oh, I get lit up.
Right?
Okay,
moving right along. The ventral pallidum is associated with attachment and hormones that decrease stress. The raphe nucleus pumps out serotonin, which gives you a sense of calm.
Ooh. So if I love my wife more, the more calm I'll be.
Right? Those areas produce a feeling of nothing wrong. It's a lower level happiness, and it's certainly rewarding, Brown said. The scientists say that they study the brain in love just to understand how it works, as well as for more potential practical uses.
Interesting.
The research could eventually lead to pills based on the brain hormones. Well, for people that are a little more like Dan, they might develop...
monogamous rats.
For those...
I don't know what mole. What was it again?
I feel like Caddyshack movie coming out.
At least you're not part of the minority.
That's right.
Well,
that's
could true. It be used to say, I love my work?
No.
What do you mean?
Not unless you're romantic.
I love the traffic here in Chicago.
No, I don't think so. I think it's to say...
I love tax season.
No.
Ray's going, give me five of those.
Yeah. I think it's just because they think that there could be a problem. Some people might have hormone problems, like serotonin problems, dopamine problems, right? And so if they can find a way to make this little chubby vole, which is a short-tailed mouse-like creature, have a mammalian bond... Uh-huh. With its own, then imagine what it can do for you.
I'm anyways, sorry. Okay, no, no, no.
End
you gotta
point.
Stop.
End point, okay? What? Young said, this is it. I'm driving it home here. Okay. Young said that romantic love theoretically can be stimulated with chemicals. But if you really want, you know, to get the relationship spark back, then just simply engage in the behavior that stimulates the release of these molecules. And allow them to stimulate the emotions, he said. That would be hugging. You guys know what hug? Kissing and intimate contact.
So the pre-Cana conferences should start drawing blood.
What?
Yeah, to see what levels of... Am I marrying somebody with any degree?
No, I like the end of this, though. I like the end of this. Because it's talking about how chemicals can help you be romantic. Well, you know what the end says? It says this. Mm-hmm. My wife tells me that flowers work as well. I don't know for sure, Young said. As a scientist, it's hard to see how it stimulates their circuits. But I do know that they seem to have an effect. And the absence of them seems to have another effect as well.
So good job.
I just want to know what flowers. The delivery charge is.
Don't do that. Pick them up yourself.
Yeah.
A little tough. They're like in New Jersey or something.
What? No, there's flowers everywhere.
Contract with somebody right here local.
He's not used to ordering flowers, so this is new for him. So.
And honey, I'm bringing the 99 really cent hamburger home too.
I was very disappointed.
I know it. Dan, talk to me next.
My experience with
hey, I think the fact that you went against your normal vole-like tendency and did it shows an extreme amount of love.
He got the flowers. That's the most important
thing. And he got the flowers, right.
So there you go.
There you are.
No there's chemicals.
Hope. There is hope. There's
happy hope. Valentine's Day.
There you go.
Well, the second one we're going to talk about is quite different than romance.
What's that?
Although, it's Legionnaire's bacteria.
Oh. You cannot get that from romance, I happen to know.
Yeah.
In fact, it does not spread from person to person.
That's what I heard.
No, it doesn't. So
how does it spread? And what is it exactly?
Legionnaire's disease spreads by water or water vapor. Mm-hmm. And where you find it are places like hot tubs, ooh, hot water tanks,
yuck,
like the hospital large plumbing type systems.
Mm. So like the purple dye that comes out in pools?
No, that's different. That's what you stay away from.
Yeah.
Swim the other way.
Air conditioning systems. Mm-hmm. That's where you see Legionnaire's disease being spread.
Wow.
So why are we talking about this?
Well, because there's an Atlanta hospital who found Legionnaire's bacteria with some of their patients.
Ooh.
And when they tested the water from those patients' rooms, there were Legionnaire's bacteria in there.
Huh. Wow.
Now, yeah.
So it came from...
Well, and one of the things... I know of Legionnaire's disease, but, you know, like you said, Jody, we sometimes don't look up the technical aspects of it. Mm-hmm. It can be deadly. It victimizes people that are older, mm-hmm, or younger,
right,
with immune system compromise, kidney problems, right, other things. However, the symptoms are very similar to flu or pneumonia.
Pneumonia, yeah. Lung disease. Yep.
Symptoms like... maybe the high fever, chills, and a cough. Some people may also suffer from muscle aches and headaches. So it's just like, you know, catching the influenza virus or pneumonia, except for the fact is they can just keep getting worse and worse and actually die. Now, there's a milder infection caused by the same type of Legionella bacteria, and it's called Pontiac fever.
Mm.
I found that interesting.
Well, I think it's really any time you go to a Lions game.
Oh, that's not fever. That's depression.
Now that Pontiac disease.
For those not in the state of Michigan, the Detroit Lions used to play in Pontiac.
Oh, we have a T-shirt out that says what?
It says 0-16.
0-16.
0-16.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's a record, man. We have made a record.
A negative record.
So if they go 0-17, they upgrade to Legionnaires next year.
Yeah, isn't that how you get Legionnaire's disease? You join the Foreign Legion or something?
No. There's probably a history, and we didn't look it up.
Actually, I did. It says it here.
It does.
Jody, go.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
No, the actual history of Legionnaire's disease was from Philadelphia when the American... it was to do with all the people that got together there.
Yeah, American Legion.
Yeah, American Legion Convention. And it was in Philadelphia, and the disease spread... And the bacteria it was there. It was around.
Well, it says it grows naturally in the environment, usually in water.
Yeah.
It grows best in warm water, like, you know, the kind found in hot tubs. That's where you got that. The cooling towers, hot water tanks, large plumbing systems, and so on and so forth.
Right. But that was where it started, though. That 1976, that was a big, large outbreak. So that's where they really got it, right. They call it Legionnaire's disease.
And so they get it when they breathe in the mist.
Yeah.
Yep. And vapor with small droplets of water in the air.
But the hospital to have it, though, is what's weird. That's what's weird.
Well, they said they had to basically block off 80 rooms.
Yeah.
Until they could disinfect, hyperchlorinate the water system and open it back up for patients.
Yeah. Weird. Mm-hmm. Weird stuff, man.
Keep an eye on it. Well, for some of our listeners, I think this might be sad.
Hmm.
This next thing that we uncovered about this latest court case saying that the vaccines, the childhood vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella, basically this court case said it does not cause autism. That's what it found in its
court case. Well, and it references back to our previous podcast where we dealt with vaccinations and those outbreaks of diseases we thought were done.
Yep.
Yeah.
And are popping up throughout Europe,
mm-hmm,
Africa, mm-hmm, smallpox again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what are the common perceptions or misperceptions of vaccinations?
Right.
We've gotten so used to being free of these diseases,
mm-hmm,
it's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my argument was, well, one of the concerns lay people have heard is that vaccinations may cause autism in children. And so we'll face the music. Right, exactly right.
Yep. That the risk of the vaccines in their minds were outweighing the benefits of the vaccine.
Yeah. Correct. That that was I was overtaken by that concept. I watched a special on polio and how the polio vaccine was made by the Salk. Jonas Salk. There we go. Had to think about it there. Yeah. But I was overtaken by that same concept, how people were so terrified to take this vaccine.
Yeah.
This is unreal. You can't do that. I mean, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And they were sure there would be more people that were dying or more people that get sick. In fact, what they did to test this vaccine, this is what amazed me.
Mm-hmm.
There were many, not juvenile homes, that's what I'm trying to think of, but, you know, homes for kids.
Youth homes.
Orphans and
orphanages.
Homes, right. Yeah. And what they would do, and this is how they would test vaccines off us back then, is they would actually go into the orphanages test the vaccines on humans, on kids. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was the amazing thing about it. I mean, today we'd look at that and go, no way. We're not going to test it on people that way. Yeah. But that's how they did test it.
It was a controlled focus group.
But it was. It was a controlled focus group.
But, you know,
but there's a bigger ethical thing there, too. No question. It's really scary. But
they were saying, you know, that from these shots, there's a mercury-containing preservative called thimerosal.
Yeah,
that I guess is the only way I can say it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the argument of these families that brought the lawsuit, suggesting that they be compensated for the financial hardships of trying to raise an autistic child,
right?
Predicated on this particular preservative that may have been or was at one time in these vaccinations.
Right. This is really a push and pull. I mean, I think I can find my place with both groups, and that's what's difficult here.
That's right.
I mean, you've got the court that's saying, look, the evidence was overwhelmingly contrary to the parents' claims and backed years of science that found no risk. And then you've got the parents, over 5,500 claims that were filed by families seeking some form of compensation through the government's vaccine injury compensation program, that are living with children, beautiful children, that received these vaccines and now have autism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if you've not done any research on autism, it's hard to understand what a terrible disease that is, because it robs the child of their personality at all different kinds of levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really easy, if you don't have that experience, to side with the court case and say, you know, it's kind of like what the court said. You know, this is a victory for, what was that?
it's not a victory for the court by any means. They said that it's a great day for science. It's a great day for America's children when the court rules in favor of science.
Yep.
Well,
That's not really what, and it was weird because that's not what I got out of the article. It said the claims are reviewed by special masters serving on the U.S. Court of Claims.
Mm-hmm.
And it just said there was no overwhelming evidence. Again, it's the scales.
Yeah.
Preponderance of the evidence did not tip the scales in favor of the parents. It didn't suggest one way or the other that thimerosal wasn't a contributing factor to autism. It just wasn't overwhelming to justify the lawsuit amount.
Yeah.
So these studies are a little misleading in that sense, in my opinion.
Right. You know, the problem, too, that I saw here is that you have two polls. I mean, you've got one of them that was major representation of the families is this Barbara Lowe Fisher, who was the center's president, who represented the National Vaccine Information Center, right?
Correct.
And she's quoted here as saying, the court's ruling will do little to change the minds of most parents who suspect a link between vaccines and autism. I understand what she's saying. I'm empathizing with the parents. But when you're dealing with objectivity and science, that is not enough. That's like saying, I just really feel like there's a link between this. And I'm sorry, but I don't have any scientific proof that can show you at least three scientific connections between that thimerosal or those vaccines and autism in the eyes of science that are going to put this to a test. They have to be able to see a link, a direct link. And when they're not getting them through lab studies, when they're not getting them through basically human studies and postmortems, it's going to be very tough for a large organization, no matter how passionate they are, to fight a case subjectively.
Yeah.
And that's how this sounded like this was handled, and that you just can't do that.
You know, the unfortunate thing about this, and this is what's happened in the past, especially, I know, going back to that polio vaccine information I had watched there, it wasn't the vaccine itself that was the problem. Like in the polio incidents, they had a full year of giving the polio vaccine, mm-hmm. and not one person had the problem from the vaccine, mm-hmm. and polio was drastically yep. reduced by it. It was a wonderful, yep. incredible right. thing.
Yeah.
But 12 months after that, all of a sudden, a huge outbreak of kids started getting yep. sick and started showing signs of polio after being vaccinated mm-hmm. after a year. The problem was nothing to do with the overall vaccine. It was one laboratory that was producing the vaccine incorrectly.
Oh.
That was the problem. And so can there be some of those things that yeah, happen?
Sure. And I think this kind of stuff definitely sharpens mm-hmm. the sword a little bit. It will bring mm-hmm. the FDA and mm-hmm. other government officials, I think, maybe a little more attention to processes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's going to be important for us to say before we conclude this one is that the lone culprit, the thimerosal, a preservative that is no longer in most routine mm-hmm. children's vaccines. Mm-hmm. So they've recognized mm-hmm. it needs to be done.
And God bless those families.
Yeah.
Those over a half a million U.S. children have autism with yeah. costly health care needs yeah. that often put unprecedented financial strain on their families. Autism is characterized by impaired social interaction. Those mm-hmm. affected often have trouble communicating, and they exhibit unusual or severely limited activities and interests. There's not too much of a win-win here.
No.
We still don't know why that's happening. I think with the environmental situations that we have, there's a lot of things that could be culprit. Yeah. It's like Jody, like you said, is there, you know, one batch that's causing mm-hmm. problems? So, I mean, I think in the long run, we really need to be sensitive to this, mm-hmm. but at least it's hitting the news so that we can become more aware of it, more educated, and hopefully, you know, the court said we need 3 sound theories mm-hmm. showing why we should connect this.
Right.
Before we begin to give these payouts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And unfortunately, it didn't happen. So.
Well, we'd like to hear from our audience with regard to any autistic experiences that you may have, either with a child or a family member.
Yeah.
It's a disease that or something going on that mm-hmm. is still so unknown.
Yes.
There's still no cure for
right.
right.
that I'm aware of.
Well, Asperger's too. Autism and Asperger's are closely related.
Right.
And you know, you look at things like this study, and like you said, I'd like to hear some from people. It'd be interesting to know the statistic of how many people were vaccinated, how many people believe they had autism.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of compare that statistic and see yeah. see where people are coming from.
The good news is it brings it to light. Let's all be more conscientious about it, and right. And let's make sure that regulators and government is watching what they're doing,
yeah. exactly,
and that we're watching, yep. and we're going to take this thing to court if we don't think it's being held right.
Exactly, but,
and they have awards to individuals with an injury from vaccine-related mm-hmm. things.
That have been proven.
Have averaged more than a million. There's
they are doing
happen.
It.
There yep. are things that happen. Yep. But overall.
Yes.
Overall.
Yeah.
I know I'm still alive, and I've been vaccinated.
Right, right.
I know you, all of us have really received vaccines. My yeah. kids have.
Yep.
And, you know, blessed, thankful.
Yes.
And blessed yep. that my children are doing
but,
fine.
But, you know, technology is not infallible, so we need to keep an eye on it, and we certainly will. And I hope everybody has a healthy, happy St. Valentine's Day. If you don't know much about the history, look it up. It's very interesting. It's very romantic, in fact. And you don't even have to take the same medication for VTA.
Or go to the same restaurant I went to.
Right. To be able to appreciate the heroics of St. Valentine's. Maybe our wonderful producer, Paul Martin, will find a link about St. Valentine. So get out there and click on it and learn a little bit about the origin of the holiday.
From started in Kansas City at Hallmark.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Oh, man. So from the studios of iRescueRadio.com, I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jody that bought flowers for my wife.
I'm Dan the Dutchman.
And I'm just amazed. Have a great Valentine's Day weekend. Bye-bye.
See ya.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at iRescueRadio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.